Your majority teachers who were good, the cream of the crop, they went into business, made big money. That left those that were not as good to go into teaching. Therefore, their heart and maybe their minds, and I'm not, this is not everybody, this is just, I would say a percentage of them. The mind was not on it, and they didn't do as well as some of your minority teachers. But in my dealings, my minority teachers have all been, with exception of a few, have been my strongest disciplinarians.
Did you ever get any comments that you were treating them in a different from the way you treating the
Yes, every move I made, I did. Any time I had to make a judgment, if I made a judgment for the black, it was that if I had been black, you would have ruled differently. Then I had a few blacks would say that if I ruled against them, if I had been white, I wonder how you would have ruled. You're in a no-win situation. And the kids sometimes do the same, and the parents too. I've had parents tell me, I'm sure if my son had been black, you would not have put him out of school. And I tried to, those that knew me, however, wouldn't ask that question because they knew I was fair. I didn't go by color, size, look, or whatever. If you did something that warranted out of school suspension, in school suspension, detention, or whatever, then that's what you got. Because school is just a minute society. It's a part of what you're going to face when you go out into real society. But I expected these things, and therefore it didn't bother me too much.
Did you enjoy your job at Parkland?
Oh, yes, I really did. As long as I feel that I'm making a difference, I know that I'm a role model for a lot of blacks. Therefore, I try to live and act that somebody would say that Sam Perrier was my inspiration, and that he was a fine person, and I enjoyed being in his school. So, yes, I concur with that.
What do you consider the major problem of your principalship?
I would say that the job now is so big that it's hard to be an instructional leader and do everything else that it takes to run a school. It's an awesome responsibility, as I said before. The schools are now too big. You shouldn't have over 600 to 700 kids in a school. You shouldn't have 1,300 to 1,400 kids in a school.
What do you consider the most rewarding about your principalship?
The most rewarding thing is on commencement day. Seeing the joys, the cries, seeing the tears, hearing the cries of the kids, and looking at those that you knew were having difficulty to make it in the world. That's the best thing about it. That's the joy. And to you know, go to the mall and kids come up and say, "Hey, Mr. Perrier, thank you for what you did for me," or receive Christmas cards from kids that you worked with 10, 20 years ago. For kids to bring candy and cookies and put it on your desk and don't even leave a name. You don't even know who put it there, but you know you've touched somebody somewhere. So it's very rewarding.
You know, back in '64, there were over 200 black high school principal because we had black schools. Mm-hmm. And last year when I started to pull together names for this research, I wrote to the State Department and they sent me 41 names. And of those 41, some of them were principals of alternative schools. So we don't have a lot of black high school principals in North Carolina. If you knew of a black who was aspiring to be a high school principal in the state of North Carolina, what kind of advice would you give him or her?
I would tell them that first of all, they would have to prepare themselves educationally, that they would have to persevere, that they would have to have a whole lot of patience, and they would have to grow another skin. They have to be very, very thick-skinned. and they would have to prepare themselves for disappointments. The principalship now is such a political thing that a lot of times when you may be the most qualified, the opportunity may not come your way because of politics and things. You have to be twice as good as a black person, have to be twice as good as a majority population. Yeah. In a lot of instances to get the job. And then once you get it, you have to be a very strong person to be yourself and not to become a part of the system. Because the hardest thing about a black principal, he has to find a way to motivate, in my opinion, the black male. I've spent a lot of time with the black males, and I cannot tell you now, I've had a whole lot of success because the black male can be a genocide. Anytime you have, I read the paper, I'm reading about some of my kids who robbed a bank, or not a bank, my kid, who robbed a pizza parlor, or who has killed somebody, or who done this or that. It's the black males. That's the major problem now, is saving the black males in this society. We got to save everybody, mm-hmm. but we got to put special emphasis on the black males. Mm-hmm. And unless we find a way to do it, I don't know what we're going to do. But the advice I give the black male is to, first of all, get education. That's the first thing. Study hard and be strong. Get your strong skin, because you're going to need some extra skin, because they start shooting at you. Any which way you turn, somebody's shooting at you. And a lot of times, nothing you do is right. And if you don't have, you got to have a lot of self-confidence, too. You got to know, hey, that I make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what you say, I know what I'm doing. And you just have to keep doing it. And you have to be fair and treat everybody. You know, it says, being a principal is not necessarily being like a classroom teacher. You know, the classroom teacher, if you say that I treat all my students the same, you're not saying much. But there are so many different learning styles. And some people you would learn different than others. So you have to you have to treat them different. Uh-huh. But if you are a leader, what's good for one has to be good for everybody across the board.
Now, you are not at Parkland, you're at another school.
South Park.
How did you happen to transfer from South Park? South Park.
Superintendent called me at 3 o'clock and said, report to my office at 4. And at 4 o'clock, I walked down. I sat with two associate superintendents and one assistant superintendent. And they said, Sam, the superintendent has decided to move you. So I said, where? So he said, South Park. So I said, South Park. I said, I don't know anything about special education. I said, I've been in the regular school for 25 years. So he said, well, you can learn. So I said, will my salary be affected? They said, no. I said, okay, no problem. I said, the superintendent says I'll go to Slippery Rock. And that's what they did. In fact, they moved 26 principals.
Someone told me that the moving, they saw one of the problems with the principalship now is the loss of power, because you know the moving you said a high school principal is a powerful person, because right. If you stay at that one school, if you stayed there 10 years, you know, exactly by right. That time
plus you know they
26. No,
nobody's gonna hear these tapes, right?
Oh, okay. Huh? I can turn it off if you want. If okay. Something you want. Okay. Who replaced you at Park?
Okay, I was replaced with a minority male, who had 1 year as a principal in a middle school.
Mm-hmm. Yes, had this person taught before? Do you know?
Yeah, this person had been an assistant principal at a middle school.
Mm-hmm. Any words of wisdom or advice or just some thoughts you'd like to share with?
Well, this is my 26th year in education, and I've enjoyed it. And if I had to do it all over again, I would choose education. I've had more positive.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fine,
good.
I've had more positive than negative in my life. I think I have made a difference. I'm not bowing out now. I think I still can make a difference. And I will try. But education is the key for everybody. And we got to go at the path here for that.
The students that you're working with now, you said it's a special ed school. Are these children exceptional children?
These are exceptional children. Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of love and care with them, doesn't it?
It does. Mm-hmm. EMH kids and TMH kids. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole different ball game, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. Very, very rewarding. Oh, it's rewarding.
Oh, it is. Mm. Good.
It's hard to be down when you walk into that building. Mm-hmm. When you see those kids struggling. We have a lot of physically handicapped kids, too. Mm-hmm. You see those kids with a smile on their face in their condition, you can't help but perk up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I've been told that I was a feeling-sensitive, caring person. And maybe this is my reward. Mm-hmm.
You know? Lesson in disguise.
Blessing in disguise.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're able to work with those children. And just from our interview, I can tell that you really do care about education and about people and about children. And that's what we need. I appreciate you spending the time with me this morning.
I enjoyed
this. And you'll get a copy of the transcript. And when I finish the research, you'll get a copy of it.
Okay.
positive things to happen, and then we've had some negative things to happen. But
we sure have.
I can't give up.
No, we got to stay in there. We got to keep putting it away. I just wish that. I'm not satisfied that when my time comes, it's going to be somebody to replace me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just not satisfied that there will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's the problem, because we don't have a lot of people who even going into education.
No, that's exactly
and
right.
Even educators are telling their children, don't go into education,
exactly,
because
right.
It's not. And then one or two of the principals have said to me that one of the problems is that the monetary advantages don't weigh with, or they don't balance with the responsibilities you have.
So
the responsibilities are so great, and you have to spend so much time, and then you don't get the monetary reward that you need, you know, so.